Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. Stone, have you recovered from our trip to the West Coast?
Not completely. And I don't know if it's the jet lag or if it's just all the excitement that we experienced over those 3 or 4 days. San Francisco is a fantastic town. The client, Oracle Application Users Group, is always a delight to work with. And then to be out there with 60,000 of our closest friends for four days.
Broadcasting live from the floor of Oracle Open World, we got to meet a lot of the people at Oracle. Got to talk and hear about the America's Cup, which was pretty exciting when they won and the whole place erupted in cheer. It was exciting.
We were right in the middle of an interview. Do you remember that?
That's right. I said, either you're really interesting to the people around us or Oracle has just won the America's Cup.
One or the other. But this is going to be an interesting segment. This is going to be fun. This is the Ty special that we do periodically.
That's right. Woo-hoo. Let's hear it for Ty.
Absolutely. And we have back in the studio with us Katie Elizabeth. How you doing, sunshine?
Hello. Good morning.
Got to get in there, Katie.
Good morning.
There you go. Perfect. So what have you guys been up to since we've talked to you last?
Oh, many, many events. We just had our annual strategic planning meeting. We've got two neat healthcare events coming up in October and Ideation 1 in November. So for everyone out there listening who has ideas you'd like to talk to some experienced entrepreneurs about, come out in November. And then in December, the real fun, we have a party.
Nice.
Ty parties it up. They actually do. And then we also unveil the plan for 2014.
So talk to us a little bit about this TIEX.
That's right.
Yeah, tell us more about this.
Yep. So TIEX is an accelerator to help early stage entrepreneurs move the needle forward fast. So that includes failing fast. That includes failing cheap. It's a combination of education, peer learning, and mentoring. So about 2 years ago, no, 2.5 years ago, I looked around Atlanta and I didn't see any place that people could go to learn about how to become a successful entrepreneur. At the time, Hypopotamus didn't exist. ATV wasn't here. ATDC was just cheap. ATDC was different. and so I was volunteering at TIE, and I saw that we have these incredible charter members. Charter members are guys and girls who've been very successful as entrepreneurs. Some are investors. And they're actually involved with TIE in order to give back and to mentor and to help people become successful. So it's basically putting some pieces together to create TIEX.
Now, who'd you bring with us today?
So we've got Memphits.
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 My real name is Mickey, like Mickey Memphits. Mouse, but you know.
I can spell it.
I got my moniker from the music business, so Memphits, Yeah, that's where that came from.
So now are you a mentor or a mentee?
I'm actually a mentee, you know, and even though, like I said, on one side of things, like music business, I'm pretty successful, you know, because I was an A&R at Jive Records, senior vice president, you know, I signed T-Pain and Huey and a lot of different musical artists that are out there right now, but, you know, on the side of actually creating and being just innovative and new ideas, you know, I just really didn't have a source or a team, you know, to get with until I ran into Katie and the TIEX team, and they kind of like, you know, they just make ideas that you would normally think is just an idea. With them, it's like that idea could be real, so why don't you pursue it? So I just love being around them, you know. It's a supportive, creative team, you know.
He's our resident pop media or star. Of some sort.
Okay, we can say that. I'll take it.
And now you're based here in Atlanta, or you're from New York, or you bounced
back? I'm actually from Memphis, Tennessee.
Memphis.
Yeah, I moved to New York about 10 years ago. I just moved up there on a whim, and I ended up, I was, you know, just living around on the streets, and then I ended up getting into Arista Records and interning for L.A. Reid and Jermaine Dupri and things like that, and I ended up becoming a real A&R, so...
Well, I knew there was a connection. I grew up on the south side of New York.
Nice.
Yeah,
okay.
About 1,500 miles south in Pensacola, Florida.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. All right.
No, but I love New York.
I love it, too. Oh, yeah. But I live in Atlanta now, so.
Yeah. Well, we're glad to have you. Yeah, you like the cheese grits? What do you like about Atlanta?
Well, I've been loving cheese grits since Memphis.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I hear you. All right. Who else we got with us?
And then we've got Bill, who's creating this very secretive, special, black box something.
Are you allowed to talk about that?
He hasn't said a word yet. I think the guy's secret.
Well, I can tell you, but I probably have to shoot you afterwards. Actually, my background is actually a little secretive. I actually, as a program manager for optical systems, with weapons testing at one time.
Oh, my.
And I've got a decade behind the wheel of tractor trailers. So I took this background, and I'm developing a system that I call a visual black box that improves the situation awareness of a driver and hopefully prevents accidents and saves lives. But mm-hmm. in the case we don't, the data we capture changes what you think of as a black box technology, which is what happened to why it happened. Why did the event happen in the first place? And hopefully we can prevent accidents in the future.
So now you're a mentee or a mentor?
I'm a mentee.
Oh.
I'm the stand-in founder, mentor.
Yes. All right. Okay, so why don't, Katie, walk through the process. So now these people, they have ideas, and then they come to you guys. What happens?
Yep, so we follow a lot of the lean startup methodology as well as startup owner's manual. Anything that comes out of Eric Ries or Steve Blank, you know, we're working with.
We had Bob Dorf recently we interviewed.
Great, fantastic. Mm-hmm. So that's what it is from an education perspective. We combine that with an element of people sharing what they're working on and allowing the participants to collaborate and share ideas. And then the highest value of TIEX is the one-on-one time with mentors. So I go out and recruit from our charter member base. We've got about 100 or so people and try to find the most appropriate mentors for each idea. And then participants are able to literally sit down and pick the brains of...
So you matchmake?
I do. Uh-huh. Some very smart, successful entrepreneurs.
So now you want to share your experience? Like, so you came to Katie with an idea and then she matched you with somebody that's going
to
help you?
Yes, someone I actually came to with an idea told me about Katie and the TIEX program. So
can you talk about the idea? It's still
I mean, it's actually two, but I'll talk about the first one. It's called My Real Life, and it's actually up on the App Store now, the iTunes App Store. And it's basically like Vine or Instagram video where you micro video, but the difference in those and My Real Life is that My Real Life is kind of based on the evolution of television, and our filters go back, you know, 50s. No, there was no color on television, right, all the way up to now where there's the flat screen. So, and then in between your videos, you know, you have this static break that makes it feels like you're watching your own television channel. So it's a way for people to feel like they're making their own reality shows and TV shows. So
how many seconds is it?
It's about 7 seconds each. It's three clips, and in between the clips, there's static breaks, and it's kind of like, you know, it just makes you feel like whoever you're watching, it feels like you're watching them on TV.
Cool. Yeah.
And it's already up and running, and it's out there.
Yeah, the first version, 1.3, is up right now, but 1.4 is coming like in about a week, and that's the one we're gonna really get to promoting really heavy.
So help me understand, because I clearly don't, the revenue model behind apps, because this is not something you're going to sell to me for very much money, if anyone.
I mean, it's really free. It's free.
Mickey's going to disrupt the whole industry here. Sorry, I called you Mickey.
It's okay. You can call me Mickey. That's my name. My mom will be happy with
it. It's really, really cool. I'll let him talk about it, but I just want to
make sure.
Yeah. So basically, you know, it's a free app, but that's getting users and people in and things like that. But the actual money to monetize it comes from the advertising. Those are the real customers with an app, because the advertisers, they want ways to get to the people. They want ways to be able to, you know, get their product out to people that are using something that they consider fun. So the advertising model we came up with is pretty cool. I don't want to say that out loud because I don't want...
But in some respects, it's like the tequila in front of the jewelry store in Cozumel.
Okay.
You get the free shots of tequila. Everybody knows this, right? This is common knowledge.
Right, it is.
I bought a lot
of jewelry that evening for like, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 free
casino
shots of tequila. But they got me in there. Right?
Exactly. That's the same thing at the casino. No clocks, you know, keep you drinking.
All right, so that's the idea, is it sets the stage to draw in the eyeballs for the advertising. And not to be shared in this particular broadcast, but you have some unique ideas about
for monetizing,
how to provide genuine added value to these advertisers.
Yes, without being annoying.
So now where did the TIEX people come in?
They actually, KP Reddy, he actually came in and he mentored me as far as maybe you should change this or what happens when this happens.
But you said, no, this is my idea. I understand this.
Yeah, I mean, they really, you know, they know it's my idea. That's the good thing about it. They know it's your idea.
Right.
They have no restrictions about just helping you get to the next level.
And you were open to being helped. Because some people are like, look, I got an idea. You know,
yeah, because, I mean, to me, I've always went by nothing from nothing is nothing.
Right.
So... What am I trying to hold back? Like, if there's someone there to help me get this to the next level, to where this really should be,
right?
Then that's you who I need open to be to talking it. To. Yes.
And then so then they gave you information, feedback, tips, tricks.
Yes.
And you were like, oh, this is awesome.
And exactly. Then I take my world, and I'm like the music world and all the celebrities that I deal with every day, mm-hmm. and with the knowledge that they give me. So it's kind of like I'm taking this tech world and this innovative world that I'm with TyX, that TyX is tying me into, and I'm taking my music business world and my entertainment world, and they're kind of marrying together. And I think nothing but success can come from it.
I would think just having an exchange with some of these mentors, whether you actually went back and applied it or if this business went bust, just the experience of having conversations with these folks has got to make you more valuable in the other arenas.
It definitely does, because it's like in the music business, I'm looked at as someone that can make your dreams come true. If you come sing to me or rap to me or do whatever you do for me, I can, 9 times out of 10, if I love it enough, I can get you there. So I feel the same way with TyX, because with my ideas and things that I think are just crazy thoughts, they tell me that those are not just crazy thoughts and these things could be real. So it does make me valuable in that world. Once my two worlds marry, it's value all the way across the board.
And you're learning how to say things to those people in a way that they'll hear them and act on them.
Yes.
Which obviously these mentors must be really good at. Is yes. there mentor training for these folks, or is that just one of the reasons they're as successful as they are is because they naturally are good at this coaching, yep. mentoring thing?
So we haven't had formal training for mentors yet. And the reason is exactly what you said. Everybody's achieved their success in a slightly different way. There's a lot of value added from all those nuances, right? So if it's, you know, if there's a recipe for success as entrepreneurs, we'd all be quite successful right now. Oh, but yeah. there's a lot of nuances in it. And so we're looking at adding a little bit of training into all of TyX for some mentors, but not all, because we want to keep that spiciness and flavor coming into helping people out.
So now the for Bill, what is your mentor relationship similar?
For me, it's more a case of, it wasn't so much the mentor, it was a case of getting together and hearing some of the ideas and actually kind of being kicked out of the room, not room, out of the house to actually go out and meet customers and talk to them about.
Right, because that's an important component to the lean startup, is getting customer feedback immediately, quickly, and implementing some of the changes that you learn.
Yeah, and the thing is, you can read about it all you want, but until somebody actually takes and says, you got to go out and do it.
Did they tell you, like, call 10 people? Like, that specific?
Oh, yeah.
100.
There's punishment yep. if you don't do it, too.
Oh, yeah.
But that's an important component, right? Managing by getting out of the door, right? Not in your office.
Yeah, you can't do it in a vacuum.
Right.
You've got to go out and talk to the customers, part of the customer discovery part of it. Mm-hmm. And the idea is not to sell what you're doing, but to ask some questions that help you answer if what you're doing
makes
they
sense.
Really want.
Right. Now, can you share some of that experience? Like, what was it like making that first call?
Well, anytime you make a cold call on somebody, it's, if you've got an ego, well, that's one way to kill it.
I just tell them Katie asked me to give you a call. Katie suggested I give you a call.
I mean, the biggest thing is going in and trying to talk to them and use it for information,
right.
And not come across like it's a sale. You're trying to make a sale, that they're actually a valuable part of your process. And that's hard to find sometimes. A lot of folks will look at you like, well, you're making a sales call. But the folks that really opened up to it were really important to us.
But can you walk us through specifically what happened? Like your first call, what happened? Did they say, oh, you're a sales guy, and they blew you off, and you had to move to the next one?
A couple of them were like kind of sales. It's like, well, what are you selling? It's like, well, really not. But some of them also, we'd talk to them, and they said, well, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm working with Ty and ATDC and some of these other groups to try and develop a concept, and these are some of the issues we see. Are they really issues in your industry? And one of the things we found with our system was that we were going to run high frame rates, higher than standard video. And when we started talking to some of the customers, they're like, well, we really don't need high frame rates. Why is that? It's like, well, we don't have any data to start with. So we found that rather than doing something that was really technology hurdle for us, by dialing it back and giving them the data they didn't have to start with in the first place.
Like any data would have been meaningful.
So it saves us a lot of time and money to tackle that, where we can give them better data. And we found along the way there were other things they need that we hadn't even thought about that mm-hmm. nobody else is thinking about either. So we look at it as, well, if we address it by talking to the customers, we can actually jump ahead of some of the competitors that really don't talk to the customers.
Now, what's the benefit for the customer to talk to you? Like, how do you frame that?
A lot of it is just we're trying to come up with a way that's going to make your life easier, that'll help with me with the commercial trucking. It was trying to come up with a way that'll help reduce your liabilities.
Right.
Because in the commercial industry, you know, truck crashes is an $87 billion issue in the industry.
Right. So if you can lessen that number, everybody wins.
Oh, yeah.
We saw a truck crash on the way back.
Yes, we did.
From Raleigh, was it?
Mm-hmm.
It was two truck crashes, or there was a one wreck and then like the real wreck, and the real wreck was the truck crash?
Right.
But no, you feel for those guys because they're on the road forever. And
oh, yeah. It's of all the jobs I've had, it's probably the toughest job I've ever had. And there's times behind the wheel that you're just afraid you're going to kill somebody or somebody's going to kill you. Mm-hmm. Just the things people do on the highway are just nuts sometimes.
Right. Well, that you have a unique perspective having been behind the wheel.
And that is, I think that gives me an advantage mm-hmm. because I know how to talk to some of the these clients, and some of them I've talked to and told them, you know, I understand what you're doing, and they'll start going on about, oh, well, you do this and that. And like, they'll look at me and say, well, you know, you've done it.
Right.
So you don't have to – they don't have to explain to
right,
you what it's about because you already understand what
right,
they're talking
lived
about.
It. Right.
So when in doubt – we wondered when we drove by this thing, when in doubt, is it the trucker's fault? Like, because they got the big pockets and all that stuff, and the trucker's tired. And is there a little bit of that sentiment?
The
or?
Bias tends to be towards the trucker.
Right.
A lot of that's the perception you get from the politicians that are always screaming and yelling about trucks.
Right.
And the media tends to blow it out of proportion because it's big news when a truck crashes.
Right.
It makes a big mess.
Right.
In reality, it tends to go the other way. But because of those perceptions and the other fact that they do have deep pockets – people are looking to get some of that money out of those pockets. And there's a lot of times trucking companies will pay out, even if they're not at fault, just to make them go away.
Right. So now, for being a participant as a mentee, was there a fee for this, or how does that work?
The only fee is membership.
You have to join TIE.
Being a member of TIE basically gives you access to all of our programs.
Mm-hmm. And then what's been the most beneficial part of the relationship for you?
The most beneficial is just – really just a mental thing, just knowing that I have somewhere to go with these. Anytime I come up with these ideas, I have somewhere to go
right.
where I can have a mentor.
So instead of just
me.
Like having a drawer full of ideas.
It's almost like Shark Tank. It's almost like, you know, the show Shark Tank. Is. Yeah. It feels like that because during ideation, when you say your idea, you have a room full of people that are not necessarily that don't have anything to do with that particular
right.
idea, but the ideas that come, the, you know, like, what if this, what if that? Well, I don't think this. That just helps. That just you know.
It forces
feel like,
you to think through
yeah,
it a little bit.
It just forces you to.
And defend it.
Yes. And if you can't defend it, then,
then
hey, it
maybe
must
you
not
gotta,
be a good one.
Right. Now, yeah. Does this happen in a group setting, Katie, or is this individual one-on-one, or it starts in a group and then it moves to one-on-one? How does it work?
We do both. So the education is all together. And uh-huh. then during the sort of peer learning, everybody jump in Shark Tank style. You know, people will stand up and pitch their idea, and then the group will go to town on it, and then we'll split off.
That's an official
especially
term.
Katie, go to town.
Yeah. So what was, like, the toughest question that you got?
The toughest question. Let me see. During my real life, I think the toughest question was, like, just people in the room that they don't even really deal with, like, apps like this. It was kind of like, I don't even know what you're talking about right now.
So did you have to show them?
I show them. I try to
what a competitor looks like.
Yeah, show them what the competitors look like, or right. some people would know what Vine is or Instant Video is or whatever. But for the most part, it's like, okay, that's not really.
He's being very modest. The truth is, he's just a few notches cooler than the rest of us. and I say that totally truly, because in Thai we're all, you know, a lot of us are former corporate or former. You know, nonprofit or consultants. So it's very much sort of a suit and tie atmosphere where
sure.
people have been in a conservative space.
Right.
And so any consumer idea in Atlanta in general takes a little bit of working to understand, and then especially something that has some edginess to it and some fun. So that, you know, that speaks to the nature of this collaboration, because you can gain a lot from both sides.
Yeah.
Right.
And well, you have the look, okay, too. You got the matching hat with the sweater.
You know,
and
I try to do a little razzle-dazzle. You know, I'm trying to keep up with you when I came in. Yeah, so, and then as far as like BET, you know, I had a show on BET. I was a video jockey. So I used to, you know, I know the TV world. My wife and I were married on TV. We had a reality show. Cool. So I'm kind of used to, that's why I'm into like a television app, because like Bill said, it's easier when you know the field of something that you're trying to do. It's not like a hard sell to people that do understand what you're doing.
Now, Ty's unique in Atlanta because it doesn't have to be technology, right?
That's correct.
Because you're open to, like Bill's, I guess yours is technology, but it also...
We had a lady who worked for the CDC who wanted to start a dance studio and company.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know.
For a Bollywood style dance.
Yep.
That's a reality show. Huh?
Yeah, I tried to help, but I couldn't help.
Didn't help that? Couldn't make that happen. No, I didn't. Not enough juice to pull that off.
No, I couldn't do it. No.
But that speaks to something else. You guys also try to help each other, right?
Yeah.
So you and Bill might collaborate or about stuff. Just you might go outside.
Right, like if a rapper wanted a trucking company.
I would be like, call Bill. Yes. So I had questions for Bill with his idea, because I had a similar an automotive idea,
right?
And mine was more like, you know, making sure that you know, just drivers in general, starting with the kids, but just I figured out a way to stop the texting and driving.
Okay.
So just because, you know, with Bill and how his black box keeps all of this data and things like that, I just had a few questions for him during one of the classes, and I just used things that he told me just to kind of either put it to my idea or figure out
how. Or might be able to help Bill.
Yeah, or it might be able to help Bill, you know, because both of the ideas are saving lives. At the bottom of the idea, it's like, what is it about at the bottom of your idea? Is it saving lives? Like I said, my real life is something fun, and I know there's a crowd for it, but my automotive idea and Bill's automotive idea, at the bottom of it, it's saving lives. So if you have a good foundation for something like that, it eventually ends up a real thing.
So now... is that part of the ideation process, is kind of coming up with the big why of things, Katie?
Yeah, you definitely want to be able to explain your story and know why you're doing what you're doing. And you have to be compelling, whether you're talking with investors or customers, users, et cetera.
I have a 16-year-old daughter, so I'm still back on stopping the texting.
Oh,
I
going to stop the texting?
I would buy that in a heartbeat.
You would buy it in a heartbeat?
Absolutely.
I'm going to holler at you.
Because I mean, she tells you I'm not texting, right? But I mean...
No, it's an actual black box that goes in the trunk that they have to put their phone or the car doesn't start.
Oh, well, that'll work.
Hey, I'm going to let you run with that, but that's not it. Yeah.
Well, my problem would be, though, it's like when you've got two 16-year-olds in the back seat, they need something to do, like texting, to keep them busy.
Yeah.
That's true, too. So what's your favorite part about it? You get to hang out with all these folks. You must have a blast, Katie.
I love it because we're bringing together people who've already been successful and who really want to help others as they were helped, because anybody who reaches a high level of success, you know, 99.99% of the time they've been helped, mentored, you know, supported by at least a few people. And so you've got these people who have the experience, the knowledge, the skills, and the heart to help. And then you've got like so much enthusiasm and excitement about ideas and creating, and then being able to give some basic building blocks and then connect the right people. I don't know. It's really rewarding. I used to dream that I got a Ty-X logo on my neck. I don't have any tattoos, so I'm really passionate about Ty-X.
One drunken party away from
it. Exactly. Exactly. One of my designer friends would always Sharpie it on me so that I could like fulfill my fantasy.
Nice. I get the feeling Mimpitz could help you out with this whole thing.
Yes, I got you.
He's got you covered.
All I need is some of your tequila, right? Yeah.
See how the collaboration, it's all about collaboration.
That's right.
So now, what's next? So you have, is the program an ongoing thing, or is it a window of time? How does this work?
Yep. So this past year, we ran two Ty-X ideation and two Ty-X startup. So the division between ideation and startup is ideation is coming in with an idea, and you're somewhere along the lines of fleshing it out. With startup, you're already launched and operating, and you're looking to scale, or you've run into problems.
But is ideation, is that a one day? Is that a week, a month?
Both programs run for 6 consecutive weeks. Uh-huh. So we meet, you know, one Monday a week.
To really
hours.
Flesh out that idea. Mm-hmm. So you went through that six weeks in a row?
Yes.
You made everyone?
I didn't make everyone. I didn't make the last one. I know they were waiting.
Oh, he was moving, but...
Yeah.
But it's a serious commitment. This is not something you just dip your toe in. I mean, this is serious.
Well, actually, what's nice is, so if you have a Y Combinator or Techstars, you have to go spend 3 months, you know, quit everything.
On location, right?
On location.
Right.
So this is a way for people to be able to flesh out ideas, build them up, do the customer interviews, put all their ducks in a row before actually making a leap into doing something more full-time.
Right. So now, Bill, you were able to do this, it just integrated in your work life?
Because actually my work life, this is it.
Oh, so you're all in on this.
I moved down here from Indiana about a year and a half ago to be part of this community down here.
Oh, to make this happen.
To make it happen, yeah.
Wow.
And I found with Ty, it's a big mix of startup and youth and even entrepreneurs that are currently going. So it's a nice mix to draw from for information and contacts.
So now, how has it been for you?
It's been excellent. It gave me a chance to really get out there and talk to more folks about what the idea is. And it seems like every time I talk to folks, I get better ideas of how to do it better, and I really get a good feeling that I'm doing something that's going to make a difference.
And you feel like you're making progress?
Oh, yeah. It's like we've gotten to the point now where we're ready to start trying to raise funds. We're actually going to kick off probably an Indiegogo campaign later this month to try and raise some of the seed money to build the prototype, which is unfortunately rather expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all been a process. You know, we've been working on getting the concept down, redesigning whatever we need to redesign, and getting the pitch down, getting that message down where it's a compelling story of what we're doing. Mm-hmm.
So now how do they help you get the pitch down and get that hook that's going to entice an investor?
A lot of it is just talking to people. You know, when you talk to them about your idea and it's a little muddy, they'll tell you that, or it comes across when they don't really get what you're talking about right away. And some of the things we learned along the way is originally we had a different name, and you spent half your time explaining what the name was, which means you're not getting your message out. So
right.
We changed the name, and we've changed a lot of the approach of what we're doing, and we tend to gear on the fact that we're trying to save lives, because that's real compelling. I'm sure everybody in this room has been involved in an incident or knows somebody who's been involved in an incident with a large truck, so people can identify with that. And that's the big thing is you need to be able to connect with the people you're trying to sell or even people you want to be part of your team.
So now on the when you move from ideation, what's the next step? Startup?
Mm-hmm.
So it's 6 weeks for ideation, then another 6 weeks for startup? So that's 12 weeks. Does this happen once a year? How often? So it was two times last year?
Two of each this past year. This coming year, we're going to follow a different model in an attempt to help people move even faster.
Uh-huh.
So we'll be running the programs parallel, ideation and startup, and we'll do it 3 times.
Okay. But so you can go through both simultaneously?
Mm-hmm.
So now, when does the funding happen? Like, does Ty help you get funded, or do they say go to Indiegogo and then you?
So we do have Ty Angels, which is a group of people involved with Ty who are already actively investing in the community, and so that's one mechanism, one vehicle. The other is just by nature of being involved in the community for so long, I have relationships with pretty much every investor here.
Right.
So, and if I don't for some reason, then someone in my network does. So we can make qualified introductions when people are ready. But the real purpose of TIEX is not just like put you through a meet grinder, get you money, get you to an exit. It's more like teach you the skills and help you learn how to ideate, how to build a business. Because, you know, you're working on this one idea now, but you're going to work on another one later.
Right. So Ty's bet is that they're not helping you just solve one problem. They're trying to kind of teach you to fish so that you can just have multiple ideas and get them all going.
Yes. And what I love the most is me learning how to do an elevator pitch. And I'm still working on that. But it's like, you know, the way KP put it to me, he's like, you're in a big building, you get on the elevator. Donald Trump is on the elevator with you. He's getting off on the next floor. Sell it. Sell you what you have to tell him by the time he gets off. So when he gets off, he's like telling you to come to his office with him.
All right,
can we
so
hear your elevator pitch now?
You know what? On the spot.
You know what? On what? On which one? My real life?
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? Have you ever heard of this new app that, you know, makes people's regular lives turn into a reality show, a TV show? If not, I'd like to show it to you, you know. And that was pretty quick. But
that was good.
That's all.
Right.
You put me on the spot. You can't put me on the spot.
I thought that was very well done.
Yeah.
Did you want to download that?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
My real life and then reality. To me,
And it's real as in R-E-E-L, like movie real. So it's kind of a wordplay on my real life, but, you know. That was my on the spot.
Who's going to tell you
pitch?
that there's no money to be made in reality? I mean, right. Look at the success of reality shows. Yeah,
everyone dreams of having their own reality show or being on TV themselves. So
that's right. If you can get it in before the door opens, add that.
Before the next door opens,
everyone dreams. Everyone has a cell phone.
I probably sat telling to wait. Let's go another couple.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, I love talking to Ty folks. It's always so invigorating, so inspiring. And not that we don't have plenty to do around here at Business Radio X, but I'm looking forward to opening other businesses and helping and investing in some of these companies.
Yeah, absolutely. Nice. So now, what if people want the app? It's available.
Yes, it's available on the App Store. It's one word. My Real Life, of course. Like I said, R-E-E-L.
Right.
Life. My Real Life, and you can download it now. And if you want to get in touch with me, I'm on Twitter at MemphHitz, MemphHitz. And I'm on Instagram, $1 billion boy biz, with 2 Z's, B-I-Z-Z.
It looks like one of our friends just downloaded the app right now.
Good job, baby. There we go. And then it's just a good read. Someone else I met at the Thai events, Suresh Sharma, he has this new book. It's called The Third American Dream. And I've just been just reading it. And it's just about innovation and how America was built on innovation and creative ideas. And it's on Amazon right now. And I encourage everyone to go just download it and read it as well, because it's just about getting America back to who we are. And we were always innovators and creators. And why not get back to it?
That's absolutely true. Yeah. Now, Bill, website?
www.vware.com. And that's VEHWARE, like vehicle wear.
And then you are looking for funding, right?
Yeah, I am. Right now we're trying to raise seed rounds so we can build the first prototypes and technical demos to show what it'll do.
And then you're gonna do the crowdfunding round?
I think that's the best way to at least get some seed money in and try and get some demonstrations of what we can do. And because a lot of folks look at it and say, well, it's a nice idea, but we want to be able to see something. So we're trying to find ways to be able to at least show a little bit of what we can do.
Cool. And Katie, if somebody wanted to learn more about TIEX's website?
It's tyatlanta.org.
There you go. Well, thank you all for being part of the show.
Yes, thank you for having
us. Thank you.
This is the Thai Atlanta special, which we have every couple of weeks here at Atlanta Business Radio. We will see you all next time.
Thank you.
Holla.